Yeah, isn't it interesting that here, as they enter into another oath, it is very much the same oath as that they originally entered into in the wilderness, and no sooner had they entered into it that they had failed. And I want to suggest here that as we consider these things, the sin that is mentioned both in chapter 10 and chapter 9 that we have talked about already, there's the sins and the iniquities that are mentioned, but there was particularly the fact that there was the unequal yoke and that there was the people of the land that they had married to. And even here in chapter 10, that they separated themselves from the people of the lands. So I want to suggest that here the issue is a matter of affections. Their affections were with the worldly things, and they attached themselves to the people of this world, those who were not a sanctified people. And there was the necessity, therefore, as we've had already all this morning, for separation from that people. But it's a matter of the affection. Their affections were in the wrong place. And so if we are going to live victorious Christian lives, our affections need to be in the right place. Mm. And our hearts need to be filled with none less than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. To be occupied and to be filled and have our affections affected and filled with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the throne of God. This is where our affections need to be. And then we will find that there will be the ability to go on faithfully for the Lord, rather than just into an attempt in the flesh to say, this is what I'm going to do, and realize, like the Israelites did, and even as we were reminded this morning, no sooner do they enter into it than that they fail in the same thing all over again.
Well, it's very interesting to me, the things that are mentioned in this oath. Because it's not the Ten Commandments, the big ones that we know. It's not, oh, we're not going to kill, we're not going to bear false witness. It's not that. Really, it's unequally yoked. It's avoiding worldly things, even if they're legitimate, when you have to avoid them. It's providing for the people of God, worshiping the Lord, giving the Lord his due. It's very basic, easy things. But it's not the big things. It's not the big things from the law. It's not the great sins that you would imagine. It's these little things that are so easy to slip through our fingers. Mm-hmm. Friendship with the world. Yeah. Forgetting to provide for the people of God who are providing for you. Forgetting to give the Lord worship and his portion in your life. It's these little things. But when these things start falling by the wayside, when God's people aren't provided for, when I'm not giving the Lord his part of my life, that's when it all comes tumbling down. It's not the murdering. It's not the big sins that cause the people of God. It's the little things. It's allowing the world to slowly creep in. And again, you can't stress it enough. It's the unequal yoke. It's the friendship of the world. When that comes in, forget it.
Just a small application with what Joey was talking about. We read earlier this morning that we need to be taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ. And I mean, that's really where it starts when we're talking about the small things. It starts in our mind. It starts where it's where our focus is. Is our focus on the Lord, or is our focus on anything else? Even things that are not bad in themselves, like we discussed earlier, like our schooling or sports or whatever. But is our focus on those empty things or on things above?
And really, if you look at these things that they have decided to bind themselves with. Now, keep in mind one thing. This is applicable to the time where they were living. This is the Old Testament. It's a legal system where you have a contract between God and you. That's just how it worked in the Old Testament. The Ten Commandments was a contract. Whatever, here it is. Give us the law and we will follow it. God said, here it is. And they signed it. There was a blood that was shed and Moses sprinkled it on the people. So they entered into a covenant with God. So that is a typical of the Old Testament. So we could understand why they did what they did here. But now, if you look at the things that they have decided to do, they weren't anything new. They were not new. The whole idea of, number one, they started, as Joey was saying, the first thing that they're going to follow the law of Moses. So that encompassed everything that was given by God. And then they start detailing other things that every one of them, the idea of they are not going to be an equal yoke. They are not going to mingle with the nation around them. That was mentioned in the Old Testament. That's nothing that they invented or something new that they have added. There's nothing new there. It was written in there. And again, the spiritual application to us is this. To them, that they would not marry somebody who is an Ammonite or whatever, a Palestinian or whatever from those nations. They would not do that physically. For us spiritually, we would not have our affection. I think John was saying about that. Our affection would not be mingled or attracted to that which is of the world or those who are unbeliever. That's the other thing. I don't want to go through the list of them, but every one of them, if you look at it, it is all in the scripture. And that's, again, the reading of the word of God. You don't have to make a list of what you need to do. It's there. You just discover what's in there, and as Brian was saying, just follow it. Just follow it. It's all in there. You don't have to make your own rule. It's all in there. Just follow it.
Now we get some thoughts on God first. Because as we go through this, if you would, list of commitments to the Lord, they go back to what was first established by God himself. But you'll notice that when it has to do with the Sabbath day, it has to do with, as we said, service, the house of God, it has to do with the Day of Atonement, the wood offering, the first fruits, the firstborn. So might some of those of you that are young tell us your understanding of this concept of God first? And connected with these scriptures.
I was thinking at the end of verse 31 when it's discussing the seventh year and giving up cultivating the land. It actually mentions two aspects, I think, of the seventh year of not cultivating the land and the extraction of debt. Mm. And the first one, I think, is Godward, because not cultivating the land means I have to rely on God for providing for me. And so I think the first aspect of that's mentioned there is Godward, that I have to give God his portion and trust him to provide for me. But the second part is the extraction of every debt. And I think that's between the children of Israel. And so when my affections are Godward, it not only affects my relationship with God and me trusting him, but it also affects my relationship with other believers. It's like a two-pronged result of that my affections are on Christ, that it not only strengthens my relationship with Christ and strengthens my trust with God, but it also strengthens the relationship I have with fellow believers by keeping my eye on Christ. Mm. But God is first in that arrangement, that I'm not looking to strengthen the relationship with my believers. It's that I strengthen my relationship with Christ, and as a result, my relationship with the other believers is strengthened. Mm.